Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to thank everyone for your help with the ham and oyster dinner. It was a tremendous amount of work, but we had great participation. And when you have great participation, you can accomplish tremendous things. So, by now, we've heard from just about the entire stewardship committee, and I think you're probably getting the idea that we are really encouraging everyone to pledge. And the reason for that is quite simple. Pledging is the only way that the vestry knows how much money it will have to operate the church for the upcoming year. So for the past several years, we have been operating with deficit budgets. And at first, they were relatively manageable, $5,000, $7,000, and creeping to $12,000 deficit. Well, our budgeted deficit for this year is $25,000. That's a fair amount of money. Well, I can tell you that as of the end of September, we have spent $50,000 more than we brought in. I mean, think about that. $50,000. That's a lot of money. So, you say, well, wait a minute. You know, lights are on. Heat's on, air conditioning works. Where'd the money come from? How'd we cover our bills? Well, we covered our bills out of savings. So in the past, we've used our savings for things like, you know, part of the money for building the ramp to the church here came from savings. Some of the money for the organ came from savings. The money for the parish hall addition came from savings. But savings is not intended for church operations. So I can tell you that we have, as of the end of September, $300,000 left in savings. That's it. There's nothing else. So it doesn't take a whole lot of math to figure out that if you have $300,000, but you're eroding it at the rate of $50,000 a year to cover operations, that money's only going to last about 6 years. So that's a place we don't ever want to get to. So that's why we're asking everyone to pledge. But I need to take that a step further and tell you that we need everyone to pledge more. And yes, that includes me. And the reason is simple. Our church population really hasn't grown. We're about the same as we were last year, year before. The same amount of people put in the same amount of money, we're going to wind up with the same deficit. And it's unsustainable. So, think about that. Think about how much this place means to you. And look at our building, our beautiful building, our grounds. Think about, you know, the people in the pews. We're a family. Think about the people that established this church and passed it on from generation to generation for that next generation to be the stewards of it. So that's us. I mean, we are that generation. We are the stewards. So, you know, we've got to step up. So think about that. Please pledge, and please pledge as best you can. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel lesson about the widow's offering reminds me of the children's Easter offering many years ago in my hometown church in Liberia, West Africa. Dressed in our Sunday's best, all of us children will process to the altar on Easter Sunday and offer our mite boxes filled with coins that we saved during Lent. The small cardboard boxes were named after the widow in Mark's Gospel, which I just read. We received those boxes in Sunday school just before Ash Wednesday, and our priest encouraged the children to put their hard-earned pennies in those mite boxes for that special Easter offering. You see, all of us children loved receiving those mite boxes. For one thing, those boxes gave us a chance to make an offering. But we also used them to compete against each other to see whose little box was heavier with the coins. The heavier your mite box was, that meant you gave more money to the church. The truth is, mite box giving is a form of stewardship which was intended to help others and not on the monetary amount. So this morning, I want to talk about how you and I might give and not how much you give. There's a difference. You see, how you give is much more important than how much you give. Although, I might quickly add that how you give will definitely affect how much you give. Now, when I say how you give, I'm talking about your attitude and your motivation for giving in church, whether it is in the regular pledge offering or pledge cards or just by tithing. The Apostle Paul encourages all believers to give. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul writes this, he says, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good works." And as believers, we give in response to God's generosity. Our giving is an expression of joy and gratitude for God's goodness to us. The believer gives to support God's work here on earth through the ministries of the church. And for the early Christians, it was to support the treasury. So a good example of this is the story of the widow's mite. The gospel writer Mark tells us that a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins. I like how this is in the King James Version of the Bible. It says, she threw in two mites. A mite, you see, was a very small copper coin with the least monetary value that a coin could have. So this widow threw in two of them. It wasn't much, but to Jesus, this widow's offering was indeed very much. And Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." That's what Jesus told his disciples. And that is what our Lord is telling you and me today. You see, it was the largest and best offering anyone put in that day. And that's because of how it was given. The way those gifts were sacrificial and proportional. The rich may have given lots of money, but they still have fortunes behind. The widow, on the other hand, put in everything, all she had to live on. So, how might you and I give? God commands giving in faith, as the poor widow did. Here was a woman in need of receiving charity. She was poor, yet she had a heart to give, and even though her gift was negligible to some of us, she gave it in faith that God will use it. The widow's faith is also evident in the fact that she gave the last of her money. Luke tells us that, like the widow of Zarephath, she gave her last meal to the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings. The widow in the temple gave away her last means of self-support. And the Bible does not tell us me what happened to that widow, you see. But I don't think that she left the temple that day destitute, or she went home and died of starvation. No. Because the Bible tells me that God provides for our needs. I believe that God took care of her and provided for her, just as God provided for the widow of Zarephath and her son. You see, my friends, there is a touching story about a little girl from a poor family who lived near a church. She loved attending Sunday school, but there were so many children in her neighborhood, and the church was so very small that sometimes she couldn't get into church. So her pastor assured her that one day, someday, they will have a larger church building to accommodate all those children. So this little girl began saving money to help the church building fund. But she got sick, and not long after, she died. The total amount that she saved was 57 cents. Her mother then asked the pastor to handle the funeral for her daughter. She told the pastor, "My little girl loved Jesus and thought more children would also come to love Jesus if they had a place to learn about our Lord." The story of that little girl, Hattie Mae Wyatt, who left 57 cents for a new church, was part of a sermon by the Reverend Russell Conwell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia, on December 1, 1912. Reverend Conwell had those 57 cents turned into 57 pennies, and he told the congregation the story of this little girl, and then he sold those pennies for about $250. In addition, 54 of those original pennies were returned to Reverend Conwell, and he later put them on display. That was in 1886, when 57 cents was no small saving account for a little girl from a poor family. Some of the members of the church formed what they called the Wyatt My Society, which was dedicated to making Hattie Mae's 57 cents grow as much as possible and to buy the property for the primary department of the Sunday school. A nearby house was purchased with that money that Hattie Mae's funds produced, and the rest is history. The first class of Temple College Bethel Temple University were held in that building. It was later sold to allow Temple College to move, and the growth of Temple, along with the Sunday, with the founding of Good Samaritan Hospital, now called Temple University Hospital, have been powerful testimonies to Hattie Mae's dream. So you see, my friends, it really isn't how much you give, it's a matter of how you give it. And how you give and how much you give will be blessed. And may even energize, renew, and refresh, knowing how much Jesus loves you and how much God has given you. So let me ask him, how much are you giving? Do you even know how much you are giving, not just in terms of dollars, but in terms of what that represents? The proportion that your real offering represents in relation to your income. Is your offering sacrificial or just a little amount when compared to what you have? What are you spending on pleasures? Do you spend more on entertainment, for example, or going out to dinner than you do to support the church and its ministries? If so, then you may want to re-examine your giving. Like the widow, you too support the work of the church when you put money in the Sunday offering or when you pledge. But you are not just giving to the budget of St. Thomas. You are making an offering to the Lord. Indeed, you are giving your whole self to the Lord. And you know who your Lord is. Our God is the good and merciful God who showers us with many blessings each day. This is the God who has forgiven all your sins, the God who provides for you and strengthens your faith. And this same God will be so very pleased if we will share the good news of the gospel with our neighbors at this expanding university across the street from this church. My friends, you do that by supporting the ministries of this church. The poor widow knew who her God was and that God will take care of her, even if she didn't know exactly how that would happen. As she threw those two small coins into the offering box, she was at the same time throwing herself into the merciful arms of her loving God who never fails. Think about that. It says in Scripture, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's what it says in Scripture. And yes, my dear friends, you have the same God taking care of you today. So I ask you this morning to consider your pledge. Look again at that pledge card and go up 1% or whatever is on your mind. Think of how God has blessed you. Think of God's grace and mercy. My wife and I have thought about it and we have changed our pledge. I'll give today Bob a new pledge card because God has been so gracious to me and my family. God has blessed us. Last Sunday, we baptized my grandson, my first grandson. God has been great to my family. And so we say thank you, Jesus. And thanks be to our God. Amen.